The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome to hour two. I'm still in Cookeville, Tennessee. This is a hotel room. There's a bong, I think, behind me. It's not my bong, man. Hey, it's not my bong.
I believe that's a vase. It's a vase for flowers.
It is a vase, but it looks suspiciously like a bong. And also, Albin, you're home. Chris, you could be anywhere. You're eating. You've got an 80s kind of background. How ugly is that background?
Oh my goodness. I know. It's thank cool, God, man. This is 2021. You can be virtual from anywhere.
I know.
Have you heard of the Clubhouse app? It's this new kind of people jump on there to talk like tech and business and stuff like that. I was on there the other day, and there was a guy who chimed in. They called on him, and he said, yeah, sorry, I'm taking a shower right now. And then he proceeded to talk for 5 minutes in the shower. I'm just saying that's where we are in 2021. You can be anywhere.
Serious?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
How did he do that?
Yeah. I'm actually in the shower.
Because it's audio only. It's an audio only app. So you can't see anybody. You just hear people.
Yeah, but then you hear the shower.
He was a millennial.
What shower is he taking if he's doing an interview? What a jerk. Okay.
Yeah, listen, just say it's raining. Okay.
Go ahead. Now, listen, we got to talk about a couple things. Yeah. First of all, in this hour, we're talking to our friend Scott Johnston. Stay tuned for that. The woke lunacy has I mean, look, it affects the cultural elites, the liberal cultural elites in places like Manhattan, most of all, where they give themselves over to anything. They're just, you know, prostitutes to the spirit of the age, whatever it is. So they have destroyed the most elite private schools. I mean, you think Yale and Harvard are bad. Wait till you hear what he's going to share. And a Wall Street Journal writer is going to be on with him. We're going to talk about this. But I want to go back to Mike Lindell. I want to go back to what Joe Biden said last night. Joe Biden, I just want to say to America, folks, we know this is madness. Joe Biden is not even running the country. They call him the president. He's not the president. He was not actually elected. I am convinced that he was not actually elected, and the truth will come out. And I will not shut up about it. The very idea that anyone shouldn't talk about this, if they have seen what I've seen, there's just no way. And so where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Why don't you just be quiet and sit down and you'll see where the evidence is, because there is evidence and it's going to come out. Mike Lindell was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he tried to explain that he's being sued. And the reason the folks are suing him is because they're scared to death of all of this. They're not saying, hey, look at our machines, look at this stuff. Their only defense is to throw all the money they can at the people who are scaring them and trying to get them to shut up. Mike Lindell won't shut up. He has countersued them. And frankly, you know, there's what's called discovery. So let's just say we haven't seen the end of this. We haven't begun to see the end of this. We haven't begun to see the beginning of the end of this. Are you writing this down? Okay.
Yeah.
So Mike Lindell was last night. He was on
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah.
And he was trying to explain himself. And I understand. I just want to say to people, I understand the people who think the way Jimmy Kimmel did. They're not really wrong to think that. I can understand the skepticism. I know people like this. The difference is that I will be friends with those people, whereas many of them have decided that they can't be friends with somebody as incendiary as me or Mike Lindell. Their prerogative.
What I find funny is that Kimmel said something a lot of these folks will say is like, it's the most secure election in American history. How is that possible when they took 3 days to decide and the votes just kept coming in from nowhere and anywhere, well, and they were all for Biden? How can that be?
There's many levels of difficulty. That's one of the reasons so many people want to dismiss this because it's a little complicated.
Yeah.
Anytime anything gets too complicated, you know, you just kind of want the talking points. And I get that. But the fact of the matter is this is too important. And it's why yesterday I actually Slate Magazine. This is how you know, man, you've hit the big time. Slate Magazine quotes my tweet. It says, oh, the right wing people went crazy because of what Joe Biden said about January 6th being the greatest threat to democracy since the Civil War. First of all, people need to understand, not only is that unspeakably stupid, like it's just a level of historical ignorance that is would be shocking for any American, much less the fake president of the United States. It's just so preposterous, so idiotic. What happened on January 6th, we all now know, was a lot of nothing. And the way they have tried to inflate it into something horrible, I have to say that says everything. Because what happened? I mean, let me tell you something. If you want an insurrection, okay, there would have been an insurrection, okay? People know how to do an insurrection. It's not that difficult given the way they were let in there. Nothing happened. They didn't kill anybody. It's just complete nonsense. We've heard over and over, people died, people died. The people who died were not killed by Trump supporters. We all know this, but they keep acting as though if we're vague enough, it'll sound threatening and important. It's preposterous. If somebody put a bullet in the head of Nancy Pelosi, which they could have done, then we would have something to talk about. Somebody put a bullet in Steve Scalise. Nobody's talking about that. Right. Most Americans, we're at a point where most Americans understand basically what's going on, and they can no longer be fooled. We have enough information that most Americans know something's not right, something's phony. So when they talk about this, when Biden said what he said, I tweeted that, you know, the greatest threat to our democracy since the Civil War is when we the people were torpedoed by a number of people who stole the election from we the people. That's the end of democracy, when the people don't get to choose their president. When that's interfered with, however it's interfered with, whether it's China, Russia, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that is the basis of our democracy. When that is messed with, it's the end of democracy. So we are now in a strange period where we don't know who the president is. We know it's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden isn't even acting like the president. If you saw him last night, he seems beleaguered. He seems fatigued. He doesn't even seem like the old Joe Biden. There's no feistiness. He seems drugged. He doesn't seem like himself. So that alone tells us something really weird is going on. So you probably have a cabal of, you know, his handlers who are taking care of things right now and telling him what to say and what to do. And it sounds, you know, I guess I don't see any other way to look at it. How else do you interpret how he behaves and what he's doing?
Well, can I just jump in real quick on January 6th? There was one person, an unarmed woman, who was shot in the back, and she was a Trump supporter.
She was not shot in the back. She was shot in the front. There's video of it. She was a Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt. We don't know the name of the man who killed her. Mm-hmm. It's so sick. Listen, I just want to say most people in America, they see what's happening. They don't have a voice. So I try to the extent that I can be to be a voice for those folks, because this is ridiculous. We see it's ridiculous, and we're not going to pretend it's not ridiculous. We're not going to go quietly, gently into that good night. We will rage against the dying of the light. And I want to say last night, Mike Lindell on Jimmy Kimmel was wonderful. It was perfectly appropriate for Jimmy Kimmel to say what he said. Jimmy Kimmel believes those things. And I think he has a good heart. I think he was trying to get through to Mike. And he really believes Mike is lost and Mike is, you know. I want to say I totally understand why he thinks that. And I understand why a lot of people think that. It makes a lot of sense. I just think it's wrong. I just think that Mike knows what he's doing. The people that he's worked with, these are the experts on this. These are the people who try to figure out, and he has the money to pay them. It's another reason why you should go to mypillow.com or mystore.com and spend your money and use the code Eric, because Mike Lindell, he gives away the millions that he makes in profits. He gives it away. He said that last night. It's a fact. And again, I know Mike Lindell. We have another sponsor, Nutramedics.com. use the code Eric with Nutramedics.com. Their stuff is spectacular. They give 50% of all of their profits to missions and to charities. They're wonderful. Nutramedics.com. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, welcome back to Eric Metaxas Show. You may remember I had some wonderful conversations with the author of a book that I raved about called Campus Land, a brilliant, funny novel about the woke madness at a place exactly like Yale. If you read Campus Land, you will recognize Yale. If you know Yale, you'll see. And Campus Land, unfortunately, is very real. It's very true. The author, Scott Johnson, my fellow Yale alumnus, is with us. Scott, welcome back.
Hi, Eric. Great to be here again.
It's not that great because what we're talking about is incredibly sick and depressing. But you're right. It's fun to talk about it with people who know that it's sick and depressing. You have been talking about what's going on in private schools here in Manhattan. You are friends with an Azra Namani. I don't know if she's going to be on the program today, but I said, I've got to get you on just to talk about what is happening.
Well, I sort of ended up in this by accident. I wrote the book that was about college woke culture, and all these latest controversies are about private schools, specifically in New York, but really it's happening everywhere. I was contacted by someone I know on the inside of one of these schools in December, Dalton being the school in particular, with some of the crazy, absolutely insane demands that the teachers were making. That 50% of all donations to Dalton, a private school, should go to the New York City public school system, that they should hire 12 full-time diversity officers. There's 8 pages of this sort of stuff.
Diversity officers. That makes me want to blow my brains out. The idea of that, I mean, this is full-on cultural Marxism. It's madness. But I mean, you write about it in Campus Land brilliantly, but it's hard for me, because I go out of my way to avoid this madness, to think that this is really happening at private schools all over the country, but particularly in the woke capital of Manhattan.
Well, I ended up writing an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal about it, and there were 600 or 700 comments below it in the digital version. And one of them was a line that was so good that, as an author, I wish I'd written it myself. Whoever it was, who posted it anonymously, said, we've reached peak bourgeois decadence when our ruling class will pay top dollar to learn how to hate themselves.
I mean, but it follows logically. That's what's so creepy about it, is it does follow logically, because what we're talking about is a kind of self-hating. It's a guilt, right? I mean, I'm a Christian, so I say I am a sinner. I know it. The way I escape guilt, which is just crushing and leads to nothing but destruction, is I have God who forgives me, and then I can have the joy of forgiveness. If you don't believe that, then you will labor under this crushing guilt. You don't know where to go with it, and it sort of erupts and manifests itself in preposterous things like what's going on at schools like Dalton.
Well, you wrote so well about Martin Luther, and his primary complaint was the selling of indulgences by the Catholic Church. Well, we have a modern version of indulgence buying in the form of the diversity, equity, and inclusion industry. And it is an industry now. And all these progressive parents and progressive schools want to wash away the sins of our ancestors, basically, by bringing on these DEI consultants and paying them a very hefty sum to tell them how awful they are and how they have to change the way they're doing everything. You know, really what's happened, people are just waking up to this. There's been something called the Long March through our institutions that's been going on for decades.
By the way, do you know who said that? It's somebody very famous said that, and I can never remember who it was. None of us can.
Might have been Antonio Gramsci.
But you know what? That's the architect of cultural Marxism. I think that's right.
And this, you're seeing it come to fruition, and it happened so suddenly and burst on the scene, first because of George Floyd, and then because COVID was an enormous distraction. So all this stuff was implemented by these schools in particular over the summer, and parents came back to find it implemented in their schools in September without any input from them. And so you have things like Dalton putting on a play where one of the roles is racist cop one, and then there's a racist cop two. And you have basic math being challenged now because correct answers are considered a social construct, and we can't have social constructs because it was white people doing the constructing.
We need to have this debate. I mean, it's actually fascinating that things are out in the open now, because I, for years, said that eventually, you know, it's going to be 2 + 2 = 5. That's in George Orwell's 1984. The idea that there is no truth. And I would challenge the people at Yale or Dalton or all these places that, where do you get truth from? They will stammer because they don't really have an answer. I was just talking to John Zmirak about this. They have kind of borrowed truth and they've carried it out to its logical extension. And then they realize, well, we don't know where this comes from, so we're going to go by our feelings now.
Well, what you have now is a weird marriage of deconstructionism, which we inherited from a bunch of awful, mostly French philosophers. There was Foucault and
Derrida.
Derrida. Listen, yeah, that was the name.
He came to Yale. He came to Calhoun College. He didn't come to your residential college, punk. He came to Calhoun College. And I had the privilege of holding an umbrella over his head as we walked through the courtyard. And I thought, this is like I'm escorting the zeitgeist across the Calhoun courtyard, because these were the people who destroyed the West. I mean, we're living with it now.
You're right. It's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine from my class who was a philosophy major. So he graduated in the early 80s. And he said that in philosophy at Yale in the late 70s, early 80s, they read Derrida and others, but deconstructionism was regarded as a sideshow, like this funny little thing over there that, you know, we'll read some. He said it was unreadable. And then
that's always the key, right? It's got to be unreadable because right. It made sense. And, you know, yeah.
Yep. They control the language and it's impenetrable. But this particular guy then went to China for a number of years and sort of fell very much out of touch with what was happening culturally in the US. And when he came back, he was shocked to discover the deconstructionism had had marched through every philosophy major and English major and departments. He thought it was just kind of a joke. But so anyway, where I was going is this is sort of a weird marriage of racial politics and deconstructionism that's happening right now. And the two things are leveraging off each other. And the results are horrifying. And parents are just starting to figure this out.
Well, I have to say, you know, I've been kind of onto this for some time because I remember, I mean, it's really when I had my Christian conversion 4 years out of Yale and the scales fell from my eyes and I started noticing things. And I thought, my goodness, the people who are giving money to Yale don't really understand what they're feeding. They think it's, you know, raccoon coats, go Yale, like it's 1920 or something. Things have moved on. Yale was fully woke when I was there. In the, I'm trying to think, you're 83 or 84, 85. I can't remember.
82.
82. I mean, it was there when we were there and it has just completely taken over. But, you know, when you go to a football game, you don't see it because the really woke people don't go to football games. I mean, I was part of a group that was like, we didn't go to the football games because that's bourgeois. You know, we're going to go and we're going to make art or some preposterous thing. It has taken over and people continue to give their money to it. And they continue to say, well, Yale is great and Dalton is great and Brearley is great and all these schools are great. And while they have been, you know, playing the fiddle, all of these things that they thought they knew were there have burned. They're gone.
It's funny. I have a lot of fun with exactly what you're talking about in campus land. The notion that the university will set up this Potemkin village for important alums when they come back and visit and have fun, boozy reunions, which are after the students leave. So the students are safely out of the way from the view of any alum.
This is total. This is true. I was there when the reunions are right after everybody leaves and it's like another world. You don't see the woke madness. This was in the 80s, Scott. And of course they know that they would lose a lot of money. They have lost money from alumni who see what's happening.
I'm told, and this is at least a year out of date, that the number of alums giving has dropped 40% in recent years. They still make up for it with the occasional nine-figure donor.
Yeah.
One of those is Charles Johnson, who gave the money for the two new colleges, and he's quite conservative. I don't think he's writing any more checks. Anytime I give a talk, a campus land talk or anything, and I'm in front of a group of people, I urge them to stop writing checks.
I can't tell you. I mean, this drives me crazy. When we come back, we're going to bring on your friend. Is it Azra? What's the name?
Azra Namani.
Namani. And what does she do? She's written for the Wall Street Journal.
Yes, she's a former journal writer, and she started a group online called defendinged.org.
Defendingeducation.org.
Yes.
Defendinged.org. Azra Namani will be joining us. We're talking to Scott Johnson, the author of Campus Land, an amazing comic novel. We'll be right back. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
Snow, cement, and ivory on towers.
Folks, welcome back. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I've been talking to Scott Johnson, a friend and the author of Campus Land, a brilliant comic novel about the woke madness at Yale. But unfortunately, this has now gone on to reach private schools all across Manhattan and all the elite suburbs around America. So we have on Azra Namani, has written a lot for the Wall Street Journal and has started something called defendinged.org. Azra, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much. And nobody is immune from the scourge of this new toxicity.
It's, well, listen, though, I've noticed this. I mean, my daughter went to Marymount, which is a little bit less guilty of this, but I still was astonished to see the idiocy and to see really what it is. I mean, I've seen this with parents from, you know, sending the kids to Yale or whatever, people's willingness to look the other way as if they say, well, this is how it's done now. And it doesn't make sense to me, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want people to look at me like I'm odd. So I'll just go along with it. And it's because of that, that we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, having been a reporter at the Wall Street Journal for 15 years, one of my favorite assignments was to cover marketing, because marketing is sort of like propaganda, right? And so what we have now from my, you know, lens is that you've got a new propaganda that's this woke industry, and it's a new ideology of critical race theory. And it is marketing off of the brand of these institutions. So they are benefiting from, you know, hundreds of years of all of these institutions and the, you know, T-shirts and the websites now and the, you know, the supposed like bump to your income that you're going to get from going to these schools. And so people look the other way because they don't want to undermine their own children's futures or their own status in the community.
Yeah, exactly. And it's horrifying. I mean, I hate to go there, but because I wrote a book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the Nazi era, it's, we kid ourselves when we act as though, oh, I would have been on the right side of history then. Oh, I'm not for killing Jews in the millions. No. I would have been on the right side of history. Well, the fact is, similar things are happening now because they weren't killing Jews en masse in 1933, 34, and 35. But it just requires enough respectable people to say nothing and to let, you know, the totalitarians take power, people who do not share your values. But because you don't want someone to look at you funny, you don't want to lose a job or whatever it is. And that is very powerful in elite culture in America, certainly in Manhattan.
Yeah. I mean, I was just over the weekend walking the streets of Cambridge, and I looked at the spot where Alexander Graham Bell had some inventions and also others. And I thought to myself back, and these were all from, and then some of it was from the 1920s. And I remembered, and I told the young kids that were with me, you know, it was in the 1920s as the Jewish kids were succeeding at these Ivy League institutions that they had decided that this was an alien force that needed to be removed. And they started the discrimination against Jewish kids. And one of the young ones with me said, yeah, and that was even before World War II, right? So this is the same dynamic that's happening today. I was born in India, came to this country without a word of English, and this country allowed my family and me to move forward. And that is exactly what education provides. It's the great equalizer, and it's the great progressive movement for all people. And so it's such a tragedy today. You know, and every single day we've got this portal at Parents Defending Education, this new organization that I've helped start. We're getting reports every single day. And it's so disturbing from public schools in Kansas, Missouri, California, Virginia, private schools in Massachusetts, Atlanta, New York. I mean, folks are losing their minds because they don't know what to do. And they can see that there's a new toxic, you know, intensity that's happening to take over their kids' minds and hearts. And it's really disturbing.
Well, what can we do? I mean, first of all, if people go to defendinged.org, what's there?
So what we have there is a map. I'm really proud of this map because I'm a visual person and I need to see the geography of this toxicity that has now gotten into so many of our schools and school systems. And when you go to your map, you can see from whatever state you're in, reports that parents and teachers and community members have sent to us. We're vetting them. We're getting dozens every single day. And on that map also, you can find parent groups with which you can align yourself to fight back. We've got resource guides. We've got a tip sheet on how to file a Freedom of Information Act request with the public school systems, guides on how to speak about critical race theory. And you know, the best thing that we can do, I think, like you and I know, who knows how we can defeat this and win our schools back. But what we know is a winnable goal is to expose all of this. Like, that's the journalist in me. Like, I know that if we set off goal to just let people know what's happening, we can win that. So just know as parents that if you expose things, like, we'll protect your anonymity and others will know the truth of what you're dealing with.
This is all so important. Now, how do you and Scott know each other? Scott, can you tell us? I'm always curious how like-minded people find each other.
Well, since I started reporting on this stuff on The Naked Dollar, my blog, I've met a lot of people who are forming the counter-revolution, if you want to call it that.
Yes, I do.
Including Paul Rossi, the brave soul, the teacher at the Grace Church School, who penned a piece about how awful things have gotten there. And
actually, when we come back, I want to jump right into that. We'll be right back, folks.
But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again.
Folks, I'm talking to Wall Street Journal reporter Asra Nomani. Am I pronouncing that semi-correctly?
Yeah. Asra Nomani, and I'm a former Wall Street Journal reporter.
Former Wall Street Journal reporter. That's really the best kind. And I'm talking to Scott Johnson, author of Campus Land, an amazing novel, unfortunately, utterly prescient. And your website, Asra, is defendinged.org. And you just let us know, Scott, that you have a blog called The Naked Dollar. Tell us what you were just beginning to tell us before I cut you off in the last segment, Scott.
Well, after I started reporting on the various schools like Dalton and Brearley and Grace Church and the crazy things that were going on at each, the blog kind of blew up. It suddenly got 500,000 hits. And I started connecting with all the various people who were involved in the counter movement, Asra being one of them. And there's another called FAIR, which stands for Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism.
Yeah,
he's a great group. And then Paul Rossi, who's the brave teacher from Grace Church, he's the co-founder of that. Anyway, we're all working towards the same goal. And I think Asra is taking a great tack, which is to provide a resource center, basically, for people who are just trying to figure out, parents in particular, who are trying to figure out what the heck they can do.
It's vital that we figure out what we can do. I mean, look, this is absolute madness. We've tolerated it. We've looked the other way. I think there are many people who will continue to look the other way because they simply don't care. They're really they're so self-obsessed that they don't care if the nation burns down as long as their kid gets to go to Harvard or gets to whatever it is they think is going to be wonderful for their kid. But I don't know what kind of a future we have if the elite institutions are turning out kids who think this way.
Well, yeah, also, let me tell you the level of fear involved. Not just with parents, but the kids who, if you're conservative, you have to hide what you think all the way through school or really, really suffer for it. I spoke to a girl a couple of days ago who went to one of these schools I've reported on. I won't even say which one, who had to hide her beliefs all the way through school. And I invited her, and she described what an oppressive, awful atmosphere it was for her. I invited her to pen an anonymous piece on my blog, and she thought about it for a couple of days, and she really, really wanted to write it. She wanted to get her feelings out there about this. And in the end, she decided she's in college now. She decided she didn't want to take the risk that somehow they'd discover who she was and they'd come after her in college. That's how scared people are.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, the really beautiful part that I've experienced over this past 9 months of just torture from this public school system where we are I'm a parent in Northern Virginia, is that it was June 2020. And we started off with three parents who were really worried about this new activism by our school principal. And U.S. News and World Report just ranked us today the number one high school again in America. It's called Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. And we're mostly immigrant, 70% from Asia. And the principal told us that we had to check our, quote, privileges and reconsider the colonial mascot that is the mascot for the school. Well, we started off with just three parents, Suparna, Glenn, one more, Helen. She wrote an email to the school principal called Hopping Mad, literally that she was hopping mad. And now at the organization we've got at least 300 people who are on our Telegram channel. We have 8,000 that sign our petitions by name, because these are people who realize that you're not safe. Like, nobody is safe from this. Even if you're self-absorbed, like, they're going to come for you. Nobody is safe. And we will only become stronger if the more that people stand up with moral courage.
Well, again, I've written about this stuff, but it's very dismaying to see people who have praised my book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for example, themselves turn aside and say, I don't want to take this on. And I think that if we do not all together stand and speak against this, it's all over. We must unite and we must say, this is our battle. And, you know, Scott, when you talk about people are so scared, when I hear the story of that student saying, well, she's in college now, I want to talk to her privately and say, hey, shame on you. You must do this, because you, first of all, have the privilege of knowing that this is right, that this is true, and that these ideas are false. And we need people like that, respectable people, to stand up. And I actually would argue that, you know, we are on the right side of history. You didn't think when you were in Germany in the mid 30s, it was very, very difficult, very difficult. And you were risking your life, not just maybe a job. But some people did it and most people didn't. But everybody in retrospect thinks, well, I wish I had, but they didn't. We're living in a time like that right now where you're risking something, but do you want to be on the right side of history? You know, we throw that term around, but I mean it truly, the right side of history, not the woke side of history, which is the wrong side of history. But eventually these things do sort themselves out, I hope.
I've been calling some of the brave people who have been standing up, like Paul Rossi and Andrew Gutman, the parent from Brearley, who wrote a scathing letter about what was going on at that school. I've been calling them digital Martin Luthers, which I thought you might like.
Thank you. I don't think everybody's going to associate me with the Martin Luther biography, but we have to do that. We have to do that. And I always say to people, like, because I've written about these people, shame on me if I wouldn't be able to be willing to speak out at this point. But there's so many people that they praise these heroes, but then when their time comes, they let it go. They don't want to be the one.
And just another point. I come from a liberal Democratic life. I was a bleeding heart liberal. That's how I went into journalism. I voted Democrat all my life. And real liberals also have to consider that Martin Luther King Jr., like, his entire movement was about challenging any hierarchy of human value. And so the new ideology of critical race theory is about rejecting this old hierarchy of human value that we all know was wrong, right, that did evaluate people by the color of their skin,
right,
and creating a new hierarchy of human value. Right. And no hierarchy of human value is acceptable.
Listen, because, we're out of time, Azra, but I just want to say, let us say that we're whetting the appetite of my audience. I would love to have you and Scott back as soon as possible, because this is a larger conversation. We need to talk about critical race theory and all of this stuff. Grateful to both of you. Folks, go to defendinged.org and get a copy of Campus Land, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shot.
I'm still in the hotel room, Elvin. I'm still here, man.
What are you doing there?
I'm in Cookeville, Tennessee. Tonight, I'm speaking at a church. It's Life Church, I believe. A lot of people will be there. If anybody can drive to Cookeville tonight, it's 7 o'clock. You can go, obviously, online. You can check it out. Go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. You should go to my website anyway, because some of you are still not signed up for my newsletter. I'm telling you, it is so noticeable. I want to say this. When we put our stuff on Rumble, YouTube knocked us off because we're monstrous insurrectionists. We're violent insurrectionists. Let's be honest. You, me, Chris, the whole gang, we're violent insurrectionists. And we need to be taught a lesson by YouTube, by our handlers at YouTube and Facebook. And they've knocked us off. So we put our videos on Rumble, but not a lot of people find us on Rumble. So we're losing money. We're losing viewers. So I want to say to you folks, to stay in touch with us, please go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for my newsletter. If your email doesn't go through, which happens to like 10% of the people for some reason, just email us where it says contact. We will sign you up. We'll get it done. Yes. I say this because we send you our interviews. I had an amazing interview with Alan Dershowitz. Wonderful interview. Many people have not seen it. It's a wonderful interview. And I want to say that it's worth signing up to our newsletter. We send you all this stuff, all the Rumble stuff, all whatever it is. We send it to you so you don't have to go looking for it. My speaking engagements, we put them online. We send them to you. Yes. So you don't have to go looking for this stuff. We're trying to help.
Yeah. And then we also link you to shopmetaxas.com, because at shopmetaxas, you can get t-shirts, right? You can get the hat that I'm wearing. You can get the Hamster Homes series of books. So you can get all kinds of good stuff at shopmetaxas.com.
It's actually very cheap. If you want swag for the children, go to shopmetaxas.com. There's no code involved, folks. None at all. It's so cheap, you don't even need a code. But seriously, wonderful t-shirts, wonderful hats, wonderful mugs. And all of my Donald the Caveman books are signed.
Yep.
You want a signed copy? I signed it with my little hand. Look, I just signed it. But seriously, all these books.
By the way, this is the uniform of the insurrectionists right here. This is our uniform.
Thank you. Yes.
The white
shirts. It's so good, though, that the people at YouTube and those places, that they care. That they don't want us to hurt ourselves or others. And so they've knocked us off of YouTube. So thank you for doing that, YouTube. We just appreciate your paternal, condescending attitude toward your fellow Americans.
Yes.
I find it sweet and in a way Marxist.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, while you're wearing your uniform and your hat, you can go to salemnow.com and watch Church People and Laugh, or watch America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. You can watch the shows, enjoy those.
That's a good film, actually. America, America.
Yes.
Did we run that interview yet? We didn't.
No, we did run that interview. We ran it yesterday.
Yesterday. We should run that again at some point, because he's wonderful to talk to. The actor.
Nick Searcy.
Mm-hmm. Nick Searcy, yeah, I just met him when I was in California.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
Take your Nutramedix, M-E-D-I-X, Nutramedix.com. Use the code Eric there as well for 10% off. Got to get it all in.
Nutramedix. I love your Pittsburgh accent. We got to get it all in. My friend Leslie Wilson pronounces. She's from Pittsburgh, and she said she pronounces it just the way you do. It's so cute. I should mention that tonight, I think I already said this, I'll be in Cookeville. I am in Cookeville, Tennessee, speaking tonight. If anybody can drive to Cookeville, please come. I'm signing books. I'd love to meet you. And then Saturday night, I'm speaking with Jonathan Kahn in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I will also be signing books there. That's going to be big. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Jonathan Kahn. It's Dayspring Academy. Actually, you can watch it online. Everybody can watch it. We're going to find out the future of America. That's all. Thanks.